Well, dear friends, greetings this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. Back in 2002, I had the opportunity to attend a Billy Graham School of Evangelism gathering in Cincinnati. The purpose of the event was to challenge those of us who were there, not only with the importance of sharing our faith, but with the faith itself. One of the presenters at that gathering was Dr. Ross Rhodes, who at the time was serving on the board of directors for Samaritan's Purse and served as one of the national representatives for Operation Christmas Child. When I first heard him, I was unfamiliar with either one of those ministries, and since then, as you know, our congregation has been involved in some big ways with both. His presentation was titled, What is the Gospel? What is the gospel? He walked us through portions of 1 Corinthians 15, a chapter often referred to as the great resurrection chapter of the New Testament. He took us verse by verse through passages that point to what God has done for us in Christ and why what he has done is so essential for our salvation and so needed in our world today. In the process, he referred to a little book titled The Best Word Ever. Written by a Baptist preacher named J. Sidlow Baxter, it's a book that walks not verse by verse, but word by word through one of the most important and loaded verses in the Bible. John 3:16 is sometimes called the Little Bible, because it contains, as you know, such a simple and straightforward summary of all of the essential truths of the Christian faith. Everything we need to know about who God is, what God has done, the problem we face, how we might be saved, and where this life is leading is all found in that one verse. The trouble is with verses like that, John 3:16, because we've heard them so often, it's easy to miss the significance. It's like the Lord's Prayer. If you don't stop to think about what you're praying while you're praying it, it's easy to simply recite the words from rote and be done. What we don't want to do today with this verse is to simply, and this passage is to simply recite it and be done. What if we did something similar today to what Dr. Rhodes did with 1 Corinthians 15? To what Dr. Baxter did in his little book. What if we took the time and worked our way through this one verse, not word by word, but in a number of little phrases? You take the whole thing, there are 27 words. What if we were to divide it into 9 parts? It would go like this. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What do you think? A 9-point sermon? A preacher's dream, all right? It's the old, how many points in a good sermon? Well, at least one, all right? There's more than one in this little verse. There are at least 9. No wonder they call it the Little Bible. It's so familiar. Easy to miss. What do you think? Can you handle it? Let's try it. All right, I promise to keep it moving and to hope it doesn't seem too structured. But let's look at each of those little phrases in this 9-point sermon and see what we can find. The best word ever. It starts with the word God. It starts with the word God. What a better starting point for a summary of the Bible. What a better starting point, than for a summary of the Christian faith? It's Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. Before anything else, God. Before the world was created, there was God. Before people began to appear, there was God. Before cars were invented, before the computer came into being, before telephones, before the internet, before Google or Facebook or Apple, before anything that is part of our world today, including you and me, there was God. What better starting point for a summary of our faith than to start with God? After all, the initiative for what we believe rests with God. What we know about God has been revealed to us by him. Even the gospel, the things we're talking about here today, is something that God has done and not us. Now, this is basic. It needs to be. Christianity is not a man-made religion. If that's the question, then it's all of a sudden a different game. All of a sudden, it's us trying to figure it out. It's us trying to find out how it works. But that's not how it works. How it works is that it's been done by God. What's to figure out is that it all rests with him. It all starts with God. So what kind of God is this? What is this God like? Is he a vague, impersonal force, the great architect, grand architect of the universe? Or is there more? The second thing this verse says is that ours is a God who loves us. God so loved. That's good to know. He's a God who loves. He's a God who cares. We hear it so often. Maybe we take it for granted. Maybe we don't. It's not the case with all other religions. Many of the world religions follow gods to be feared. Now, in some ways, we do too. Martin Luther says we're to fear, love, and trust God above anything else. There's nothing wrong with a healthy fear. But if you want a definition of love, then look to God. If you want a depiction of love, what you want to see is see it in its most genuine form, you're going to find it in him. John says, and this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Paul says that our life's goal ought to be to grow each day in what he calls the breadth and height and depth of God's love. God so loved the world. Number three, the whole world, nothing left out, no one excluded, an undeserving world, a rebellious world, a world that had turned its back on its creator. The creator didn't turn his back on the world. He created the world. He loved the world. God so loved the world. It doesn't matter. All of it is within the scope of God's love. Everything, everyone, black and white, red and brown, male and female, east and west, rich and poor, gay and straight, agnostic, atheist, Christian, it doesn't matter. When Jesus hung on the cross, the entire world was being redeemed. That's what happened. He bought it back. He paid the price. He took upon himself our sin. Nothing and no one was left out. God so loved the world that he gave. Point number four. Don't ever forget that love requires giving. Love requires giving. It's built in. No exceptions. No possibility without it. You can't have the one without doing the other. Parents, if you love your kids, you need to give. Children, if you love your moms and dads, then don't forget. You cannot love without giving. You cannot love without sacrifice. You want to test your love sometime? Either with God or with someone else or with the world? Then ask the question, how much am I giving? How much am I willing to sacrifice? It's more than an emotion. It's more than what we feel. It's a commitment. It's a sacrifice. It's what we're willing to give. God so loved the world that he gave. If he didn't, he wouldn't. But he does. And so he did. What did he give? We're already up to five. I told you I'm going to keep it moving, all right? He gave his son. He gave his son. He allowed his one and only son to die so that you and I could live. Even the Son, it says, gave himself. You remember, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what Jesus did for you. Would I give my life for you? Would you give your life for me? Maybe so. It all depends. Hopefully we don't have to find out. But would I give one of my children so you could live? Would I give my only son so that someone who doesn't deserve it might have life? Ours is a Christ-centered faith. It all depends on Jesus. Everything stands or falls based upon his claims and what he did. All the Old Testament builds up to it. All the New Testament proclaims the fact that it happened. If it didn't happen, then it didn't happen. And if it didn't happen, then it doesn't work. The good news is that it works. And it works because God was willing to give. And not just to give, but to give his only son. The gift of Christ. That's what we believe. Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, everything in between. It's all about him. Lent, 40 days to get it right. Do you want a picture of love? And if you had to paint on a piece of canvas what love was like, what would you paint? How about a cross on a hillside with a man hanging on it? Doesn't get any better. That's the good news. Then comes even the better news, the unqualified offer that comes with it. Number six, one little word, whoever. Whoever. Doesn't matter who. God so loved the world, there's nothing left out. But here's where it gets personal, my friends. Here's where it counts. Whoever. Go down the list. Peter and James. Matthew and Judas. The thief on the cross. The adulterous woman. The widowed mother. The Roman centurion who nailed Jesus to that tree. Even Pilate and Herod and Caiaphas. Whoever. You, me. It's unrestricted. Life condition doesn't matter. Past history becomes irrelevant. Personal background or status, what you know or you don't, who cares? It's whoever. Whoever thirsts, come to the water. Whoever's hungry, there's enough to eat. All you need to do is come. All you need to do is to trust and believe that it's true. Whoever believes in him. Point number seven. Not just belief in God, but in Jesus. Not just the knowledge that God exists, but that there's a heaven and a hell. But that it all depends on Jesus. And that in him, it all happened for you. Now, sometimes I think we make it harder than it needs to be. We think we have to do something. Sometimes I think we make it not hard enough, thinking that what we believe, whatever we believe, it's all the same. It's not all the same. It's only in Jesus. It's not that we simply believe, but that what we believe is in Christ. It's already been given. It's already been done. God gave his only son. It's the only way. We can't change that. We can't undo what's already happened. It already happened. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Jesus died on the cross for us. All we can do is accept what God has done. Receive that gift. Now, is it possible to refuse it? Sure it is. You can give back any gift you want. In fact, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is in today's text. We do have that power. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. God gave the gift of his son, but men love darkness instead of light. They love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. It can happen, and it does. But why would you do that? I mean, really, why would you give it back? All you have to do is accept. All you have to do is trust. And not in your ability to trust, but in Jesus, in the cross, in what God has done for you in Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That was our second reading today. And even that, it says, it's not your own doing, it's a gift from God. It's not because of works, lest any of us can boast. We can't. It's not our doing, it's His. If we're to boast, we're to boast in Jesus. So what's the end result? Where does this all lead? We're now at number 8. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish. What does it mean to perish? What does it mean to perish? We're not going to perish. What does it mean to perish? It means that we're not going to die. It means we're not going to die, but it says shall not perish. Every one of us is going to die. Person sitting in front of you is going to die. Person sitting behind you is going to die. Person sitting next to you is going to die. The person sitting next to the one sitting next to you is going to die. We're all going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, and we're going to get it. It's coming for every one of us. We're all going to perish, but it's not the end. We're all going to die, but it's not the final word. Whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus said, will never die. Now, what did he mean by that? What does it mean to die? It means that we become separated from God. That's what hell is. It's an eternal separation from God. It means that forever we're going to be apart from God. That's what happens without Jesus. That's what happens without Christ. Don't think it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. Don't think it's not going to be the case. It is going to be the case. There is a heaven and hell. Jesus spoke about it many times. If it weren't true, he wouldn't have said it. If it wasn't going to happen, it wouldn't have happened. But it is, so he did. It is, so it will. That's why God did what he did in sending and giving his Son. Jesus didn't come to condemn us, it says. He came to save us. He didn't come to cast us out, but to call us in. What God wants is to have you with him forever. That's what he wants. What he wants, he was willing to sacrifice his Son to make it happen. And that brings us to the final point, number 9. The opposite of perishing in death. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just as death is separation from God, life eternal is forever in the presence of God. Now, the Bible gives us many images, as you know, of what heaven's going to be like. No more crying, no more suffering, no more pain. The lion will lie down with the lamb. The child will play with the snake and not be harmed. It's going to be wonderful. It'll be beautiful. When we get there, we'll be able to see. When we find ourselves in heaven, we will know fully everything that now we can only begin to imagine. Paul says, but now we see through a glass dimly. Then we shall see face to face. Now, he says, we see and know in part. Then we shall see and know as it actually is. Until then, he says, we have the Bible. Until then, we have the Word of God. Until then, we have passages like this one here today, giving us a summary of all we need to know. Our bulletin cover today makes the point. On the cross of Jesus, God's plan to save the world was carried out. He loved this world so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only Son. So let me close with this. Sometime later this week, when you have a few moments, do by yourself what we did here today. Think through John 3:16 again. Word by word, phrase by phrase, thanking God for all that he's done. Do it this week. Do it again next week. Do it often and from memory. And as you do, it will increasingly become the best word ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, for loving us so much that you are willing to allow him to die so that we might live. Help us to never take for granted the sacrifice you have made, the gift we've been given, Help us to trust. Help us to believe. Help us to accept what you have given. For Jesus' sake, amen.